As we enter what for many will be a longer than usual 4th of July weekend, three movies are expected to dominate the box office: Michael Moore's documentary Sicko, the animated Pixar film Ratatouille, and Bruce Willis's fourth go-round as Detective John McClane in Live Free or Die Hard. Critic David Edelstein reviews all three.
Two momentous films open nationwide on the same day. Sicko radically challenges our perspective on healthcare. Ratatouille radically challenges our perspective on rats in kitchens. Cynics will say there's a better chance of a rodent becoming a chef than universal health care for Americans. That underestimates the big fighting rat at the center of Sicko. Michael Moore can be a blowhard, but he's also an angry court jester speaking truth to power. When the counterculture imploded in the late 70s, the right appropriated its prankster spirit. Speaking truth to power became razzing feminazis and the so-called liberal media. Moore has reclaimed progressives' gonzo legacy. Sicko is his best film. It mixes outrage, hope, and stunts in perfect proportions. Iraq war partisans could stonewall in the face of Fahrenheit 9/11, but Sicko will whack everyone in the kidneys with a large stick. You could find millions of anecdotes of insurers denying payment, but Moore comes up with doozies. Some are ghoulishly amusing, like the guy with two fingers cut off who didn't have coverage to get both reattached. He had to choose between the ring finger for $12,000 and the middle finger for $60,000. Figuratively speaking, Moore gives the insurance company the middle finger. Other stories are tragic. People whose insurers deny their claims expire before the appeals process runs its course, leaving stricken spouses and children. Moore plays a clip from the 1996 congressional testimony of an industry whistleblower.
There was one person in the healthcare industry who did have a conscience: Dr. Linda Pino, a former medical reviewer at Humana.
My name is Linda Pino. I am here primarily today to make a public confession. In the spring of 1987, as a physician, I denied a man a necessary operation that would have saved his life and thus caused his death. No person and no group has held me accountable for this, because in fact, what I did was I saved a company $500,000 for this. And furthermore, this particular act secured my reputation as a good medical director, and it ensured my continued advancement in the healthcare field. I went from making a few hundred dollars a week as a medical reviewer to an escalating six-figure income as a physician executive. In all my work, I had one primary duty, and that was to use my medical expertise for the financial benefit of the organization for which I worked. And I was told repeatedly that I was not denying care, I was simply denying payment. I know how managed care maims and kills patients. So I'm here to tell you about the dirty work of managed care. And I'm haunted by the thousands of pieces of paper in which I have written that deadly word, denied. Thank you.
It's the HMO Kaiser Permanente, though, that emerges as a supervillain, if only because of an astounding 1971 tape of an Oval Office meeting between John Ehrlichman and Richard Nixon. Nixon is convinced to go along with Edgar Kaiser's scheme to create a for-profit managed care system on the grounds that hospitals would have incentives to give less care. Material this potent doesn't need angry emphasis. Instead, Moore's persona is sorrowful, sympathy for the neglected, mock incredulousness over why this has to be. The second half is a travelogue. He journeys to Canada, the UK, and France to see how people bear up under national health care. Perhaps he paints a rosy picture, and a survey of Cuban health care leaves out less savory details of life under Castro. But the differences in coverage between our system and other countries are profound. Moore argues that Americans take dead-end jobs for insurance and stay because employers have them over a barrel. He says, transform health care and you'll remake society. History suggests the healthcare industry will pay through the nose to ensure that the system never changes. But after Sicko, How can Americans let politicians feed them sugar pills? Brad Bird's Ratatouille is a high-water mark for its director, too. Since Bird's previous features are The Iron Giant and The Incredibles, that's higher than the Eiffel Tower. Our Parisian rat hero, Remy, does not share his family's taste for garbage. He loves fresh ingredients combined in unexpected ways. It's an archetypal story, a youth who insists on going his own way in the face of a disapproving dad and a society that sees him in but one role. What makes it less sentimental is the visceral incongruity of its happiest image, a rat on a stovetop improvising over a soup pot. You think yuck and yum at the same instant. Bird charges the space the way Spielberg does. His animated characters seize the foreground, making you sit up like a rat catching a whiff of cheese. Maybe Tom de Savoie shaved lightly over truffle-scented petit pois. Can Brad Bird cook? The week's other blockbuster is the third Die Hard sequel, Live Free or Die Hard. Bruce Willis returns with his head shaved. He no longer seems like Detective John McClane. He's Bruce Willis with his all-purpose smirk. The movie combines brutal action with high-tech cyber thrills and the pacing of TV's 24. It's watchable, but the strands don't coalesce. The climax is by the numbers. The best reason to see it is the young actor Justin Long of the TV series Ed and those Apple versus PC commercials. He plays an ace hacker, and the tension between his shambling gait and his lightning way with a keyboard and with geek banter leaves Bruce eating his dust. Willis does get entertainingly bashed up, though. Let's hope the NYPD has a decent insurance plan.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.